Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the 79th Psalm. This is our theme, and it will be our theme for some time to come. What is this world coming to? I have just felt a great conviction on the part of the Lord that this is something we need to talk together about as the people of God. And it is predominantly a prophetic theme that we will be discussing in the future. We will be following it Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And I just feel very strongly about the benefit of doing this. It has to do, in my mind, with an awareness of God and what God is doing in these days and causing us to think more concretely about those things and how they affect our lives. I'm attempting through this process to kind of update my activities and skills, and so there'll be things on this screen behind me that will be changing and going on, and that really is not consistent with who and what I am. This is a method that is far more common among those who are teachers of the Bible. And I've never thought of myself so much as a teacher. I've sat under people who are teachers and good teachers, and I appreciate them greatly. I would admit to you that I'm more of a preacher than a teacher. I press for a change in the life of God's people. That's my passion. Those changes come in many ways. One great change is I'd like you to go home understanding the things of God and being confident. Confidence is a great change in the life and heart of a believer. Encouragement is a great change in the life and heart of a believer. And behavioral change is always important, imperative in the life of a believer. And I guess I relate more to my own personal experience as I reflect on that, it's not A, B, C, and D, you know, I'm thinking of an outline here, that have led concretely to a change in my heart and my behavior throughout the years. It has been as the Lord has met me in His Word with maybe two or three words or a phrase where He's challenged my heart, brought understanding, brought conviction, brought assurance. And so that's the passion that I have as I speak with you about these things. So if things get a little awkward and out of line here, it just has to do with, you know, you're dealing with a dairy farmer, not a gospel teacher, okay? But it's important that it be well taught, too. I'm nothing against teaching, because it must be consistent with all the Scripture. It must be true. So, again, that is a passion of my heart. Let's pray as we get into this today. Our Father, as we open Your Word together this morning, we pray that by Your Spirit You would speak to us, instruct us in the way of truth, guide us in understanding of this. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the title of our message today, and I've already played with that, but I don't know if this is coming up behind us, but apostasy as a sign of the day of the Lord. I am kind of changing my emphasis in that area, because I don't think the word sign is maybe a good word for that. I would prefer to put it now in as apostasy as a characteristic of the times of the day of the Lord. As we approach the day of, and when I'm talking about the day of the return of the Lord, I'm talking about the day of God's judgment on this earth. I'm not talking about the rapture of the church. I'm talking about the time when God is going to return and bring judgment upon this land, not just America, but the entire world. But the situation that will be existent among God's people as we come to this time will be a situation of apostasy. And I'm going to say a very regrettable and disappointing apostasy among the people of God. You should be at Psalm 79, and you'll notice with me the first part of the first verse. O God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance. I think this is an observation from the psalmist here that an ungodly people have come into the ranks of God's work. And he is lamenting that. And lament almost doesn't seem to be a big enough word. The scripture reading we had this morning, Psalm 94, as Don read that, I thought again, I just need to quietly preach through that portion of scripture with you. Slowly and quietly, and I don't use the word quietly, I'm never quiet. But notice the passion and lament of the psalmist here in Psalm 94. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. This is going to be the passion of God's people as we come up against the day of the Lord. Because the world is living and acting in absolute ignorance and oblivion to the reality of God. And our heart is sickened by that regrettable situation in the world. Notice what he says in verse 2. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. We're going to be so tired of it, we're going to be saying, God, get them! And we aren't saying that in a nasty way. We want our Father to have his glory. Lift up thyself, O judge of the earth. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? I appreciate the help of all of you people in the ministry, you know. And iron sharpens iron, and so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And last Sunday afternoon, had the privilege to have lunch with Myron and Cinda and some other of you folks. And Myron asked me if I'd been reading anything from Thomas Ice. I thought, no, never heard of the guy. And so I Googled him up this week and was reading some stuff from Thomas Ice. And he makes this observation from one of his professors at Dallas Seminary. And I thought I would read it to you. I will never forget what one of my church history professors told us one day in class in the late 1970s at Dallas Seminary. He said something like the following. Those of us who will follow Christ and his word, as opposed to the rising emphasis upon religious experience, will increasingly become a smaller group until one day we will be on the outside of the American evangelical church looking in. My reaction to my prof was, no, things will never get that bad within evangelicalism. Well, my prof was certainly right. I believe that just such a day has arrived. Like Jude, I would have loved to write about our common salvation. But the times are pressing in on biblical believers. We must earnestly contend for the faith. And as the writer of the scripture said, and so much more as you see the day approaching. He quotes Dr. Lewis Berry Chafer, who is a man that, you can't get a Bible education without reading his books. Lewis Berry Chafer says this, "A very extensive body of Scripture bears on the last days for the church. References to a restricted time at the very end of and yet wholly within the present age. Through this brief period, though this brief period immediately precedes the Great Tribulation, and in some measure is a preparation for it, these two times of apostasy and confusion," he's talking about both things, this period of time is characterized by apostasy and by confusion, "though comparable in history, are wholly separate the one from the other. Those scriptures which set forth the last days for the church give no consideration to political or world conditions, but are confined to the church itself. These scriptures picture men as departing from the faith. There will be a manifestation of characteristics which belongs to unregenerate man, though it is under the profession of a form of godliness. The indication is that having denied the power of the blood of Christ, the leader in these forms of righteousness will be unregenerate men from whom nothing more spiritual than this could proceed." I want to talk to you this morning about these characteristics of apostasy. What does this look like as we come up against it? Come back with me then to Psalm 79. And I want you to notice in first verse that it says, "The heathen are coming into thine inheritance. The wicked walk among and defile the just." That is something that we need to be cognizant of as we come into the last days, that the wicked will come in amongst the things of God and the people of God with the intention to defile the people of God. Now, in a direct teaching of Psalm 79, I believe it is Hebrew in its application or in its definition, which we mean he's looking at an apostasy within the Jewish faith. But that same kind of apostasy is characterized within the Christian faith. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. Where the Apostle Paul makes this observation about apostasy. Well, let's go up to verse 12 to catch the context. "But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we." He's objecting to these apostate people coming within the church. And he says in verse 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." And then this fascinating verse of Scripture, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." So the first thing that I want you to see is that one of the characteristics of this apostasy is that the wicked walk among and defile the just. And that has been going on for quite some time. When I say that, I'm talking in the realm of 60 to 70 years. We have been experiencing that in America. And I've shared this illustration with you, and I'll just remind you of it very quickly, that when I was a young man, I think about 24 years old, I was the pastor of this little Baptist church in New London, Wisconsin, and we were coming up against 1973 when there was going to be a great evangelical program administered on the nation of America, if not more broadly, called Key 73. And all kinds of evangelical leaders had gathered together to pull off this program, and the gospel was going to be preached in cities and on college campuses and all that kind of thing. It was going to be a great thing. And I received a phone call from the local United Methodist Church pastor who had been chosen by that group to be the coordinator of our eastern part of Wisconsin, asking if I would work with him in this evangelistic program. I said, I just have to ask you a couple questions before I make a commitment. I said, number one, do you believe the Bible is the inspired word of God? He said, no. I said, do you believe that the miracles and the gospels really happened? He said, no. I said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God? He said, no. Folks, it's been a long time that the wicked have been walking among the just and defiling them. We'll say more about that at another time. We go on here to verse 3. Their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem, and there was none to bury them. Another characteristic of this apostasy is their hatred for the people of God. And those who claim to be the followers of God throughout history have had the reputation of killing the people of God. And I'm not exaggerating it. They kill the people of God. Some of the first apostates that we become acquainted with in the New Testament scriptures are the scribes and the Pharisees. Those who claim to be the loyal followers of God and the leaders of the Hebrew faith. Jesus said to them, ye are of your father the devil, and his works will you do. They are the ones who got together in secret, quiet meetings and plotted the murder of Jesus Christ. I shouldn't use the word murder there. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And then it wasn't much later that they stoned Stephen. I think I can quote this. Larry Jansen, who has been with the CIA for years, tells me that some time ago the CIA was predicting that I think by the year 2017, there would be martyrdom of Christians in America. The CIA spends its time studying what's going on in our culture and where it's drifting to. We see it happening in Libya and places like that. But it's not that far from the shores of America. The third point that I want you to see is in verse 4. We are become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to them which are round about us. The third characteristic of these apostate times, the wicked walk among and defile the just, the wicked murder the just, and thirdly, the wicked scorn the just. That's the sense of that we have become a reproach. As believers stand for that which is right and true and godly in this world, we increasingly are the recipients of their scorn, of their laughter, of failing to be erudite and astute and understanding. I find it interesting that our world has made a switch that has characterized our times, that it is now finding is not at all as sophisticated and erudite as we thought, and it's called the scientific age. We are moving out of the scientific age. We had believed that science was the answer to everything, and science knew everything, and science, though I appreciate it, I can get in a car and I can drive in comfort, and that's a result of good science and things like that, and I enjoy it. But you know what? We don't know what we think we know. And we're beginning to learn that. They used to talk about the behavior of electrons around atoms and how they behaved and what they did. Now they're not even sure there's such a thing as an electron. There's a subject known as quantum physics, which teaches that we don't understand physics. That's basically its main point. But yet, we who know God, honor His Word, and are walking in truth are scorned and ridiculed. That is a characteristic of those last days. And then in verse 5, the just will lament their condition. How long, Lord, wilt thou be angry forever? Shall thy jealousy burn like fire? We are going to come to the point, folks, and it just seems to me that we're approaching that day where we're saying, I've had enough of this. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I hear things week by week that are going on in our culture that just absolutely flabbergast me. Quite frankly, I'm at the point where I'm going to say, quit telling me this stuff. I don't even want to know it anymore. The perversions and things that are common within our society, the corruption. And the lament is just this, Lord, how long till you come again? Now, I'm not getting near as far as I wanted to get. I want to talk to you about the cycle of apostasy. And I think this is where we're going to insert a chart here. Can we do that? Pastor Weber's, you know, all of this stuff Pastor Weber is doing for me. And I really appreciate that. This chart, and I think it will be helpful for us to see this, is that apostasy has been a common companion of God's people throughout the years. And we look here at both Israel and the church, and there is an interesting parallel in their apostasy. We probably won't get into this until tonight. But under Israel, we have the general apostasy that, this is my term for it, okay, that occurred very early in the life of God's people. There in the wilderness, they were worshiping false gods. Go figure. There in the wilderness, they were abandoning the God who had just delivered them. You know, it was only, what, 1 or 2 months before they built that golden calf. God's people have a penchant for apostasy. We need to know that and understand it. The Babylonian captivity was God's judgment on the nations for their apostasy. And we learn something about God, and we find this throughout Scripture. There's a place where God draws a line and says, that's it. And He took them into captivity, into Babylon. And then there was the revival under Ezra and Nehemiah What a wonderful, you know, you read about that, you know, after that Babylonian captivity, and then God stirs his people, and here comes Ezra, and here comes Nehemiah, and we'll talk to you about these revivals tonight. That's what's going to have to be done. About how God wonderfully changed the heart of Israel. And we're so hopeful. And then the Old Testament closes. And we find them there. That Jesus says about the Hebrew leaders, "You are of your father the devil, and his works you will do." And the nation of Israel is set aside for their apostasy. The leaders cried out at the crucifixion of Christ, "His blood be upon us and our children." In the Church of Jesus Christ, we have found general apostasy throughout the years. We'll look at that, but Paul in his letter to the Galatians says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that have called you to light." So quick apostasy has come into your church. And then we find here when Romanism comes up, which is about 600 AD, about where you put it, that the church in general, the church of Jesus Christ in general, had just become apostate. To the place that when the Reformation came, these guys, the Romans and the Anglicans, were taking the believers, cutting their tongues off, out, cutting their ears off, disemboweling them while they were alive, and burning them at the stake in the name of Christ. Apostasy has been the general companion of God's people throughout time. And then there will be the final apostasy, which we'll show you again. We'll get back to that this evening. Let me take you in closing to the book of Jude. Jude, from everything I understand, was one of the half-brothers of Jesus Christ, a brother of James, who was the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. And here he is writing, Jude, the first verse, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints." My point is this, that as we go into this study of prophecy, it seems to me that we need to understand that as we approach these times of the Lord, we are approaching times, I'll put it in these terms, of regrettable apostasy. To just give you a little sense of the depth of that, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1. "This know also," and please understand, though the Holy Spirit is reflecting here on the church, not on the world in general. "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. The days that precede the Lord's day will be characterized by apostasy. Now, I had put in my title, it is a sign of the times. I prefer to say it is a characteristic of the times for different reasons, but this being one of them. When I studied black and white photography, we had something called the grayscale, which helped you print your pictures and get the right moderation between black and white. And in a normal black and white picture, you need to have the contrast from absolute crystal white to total absolute blackness. It is a comparative contrasting thing. It is hard for us as we look at prophecy to say comparatively or contrasting, things are getting worse and worse, or it's so bad now the Lord's going to come, and try to look at this as a sign. I think it's better off for us just to understand, folks, deplorable days are coming within the work of God as the apostasy waxes greater and greater. And we need to be aware of that, and there are some things that we ought to do about that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we've had to just open up this discussion a little bit this morning. And we pray that by your Spirit, you would continue to teach us and guide us and direct us in the way of truth. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.